Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
I love my sister.
Shalom, my sisters. Bless you and greetings. Welcome to another show. I am your host tonight, Ashley. Praise Yah. Let me know if you can hear me in the chat room. Thank you, Sakina, for monitoring the chat room tonight. Sound check, sound check. Shalom and blessings to beloved mothers, moms, sisters. Yes, indeed. And to you, Mother Jennifer, thanks for joining me tonight. Hallelujah. I know you'll be busy and off the show next week, so got to announce that early. Let's go to you now and get your sound check.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley. Shalom and blessings to all the daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be here again for another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray everyone is doing well. I pray everyone is staying encouraged during the dead season. I can hear you well, Sister Ashley, and I don't have my chat pulled up yet, but whenever you're ready, we can move forward.
Hallelujah. I can see it. We got some tens. That's great. Thank you to all international listeners for your time. Hallelujah. I'm glad you found each and every one of us some really amazing and beautiful women in this ministry that truly are, and we're scattered around different places, different communities, different dwelling places. Shout out and bless y'all. Listen, I got to be honest. Me and Mother Jennifer don't have anything to say. We don't have anything to share. We don't have anything pressing upon us or something that Yah has, you know, really, I don't know, ministered to us this week or whatever you want to word it. So we're going to rely upon you. I want to, I guess, just ask her a question. That's how we'll kick it off. And first, let me just start with some fun facts and how the land is going. And for those who, you know, follow us closely or are at a distance and just care, you know. So after I give some of my announcements and acknowledgments and my highs and my shout-outs and all that, maybe Mother Jennifer will have a few people on her heart as well. You guys can give us some questions in the chat room. We're not here to waste any of your time or to even entertain you, but to bring a nice and holy, righteous dialogue that will edify you and give you something for your keeping, you know. And so we hope that you might have a question that's going to edify everyone. You can put that in the chat from now on. You can send an email. We got it pulled open at straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. You can send your question or even a quick testimony. We do not have a direction, okay? I have one question that I tried to formulate for just for a conversation starter, just to even ignite Mother Jennifer's answers, and maybe that'll be the show. I don't know, but we need you. As far as the land is going, it's wonderful. It's busy. It's beautiful. You know, it's peaceful. The brothers, a lot of them are hunting. You know, I think we're sitting at, what, 50 plus deer. Sakina would know. She can type it in there. 50 plus, 54, I don't know. And the season hasn't been open long. I mean, bow season's short. 49. She says 49. And we got three more tomorrow. Is it three more tomorrow? They're hanging overnight. Yeah, we're processing deer daily. I mean, 4 to 5 days a week. And, of course, all the other chores and responsibilities. So we got brothers hunting. We got the brothers from Praiseland that are still building. The building is going up really nice. You know, just from the outside, from looking, and you can just see the work, you know, and it's really appreciated. You know, Deacon's splitting wood. You know, he's constantly splitting wood. And I know that because the boys will go with him from time to time after school. Deacon's spending hours with his sons, you know, DIY projects, mopping floors, dumping pit buckets, fixing grease traps, you name it. You know, all those things going to backhoes are rolling around. You know, I'm just hoping for the biggest year to date on the deer. Who knows, you know, if we're at 50 plus already. So that's awesome. I don't keep up with the numbers. Diane does. And I can't say that we always have or, like, every single year we have. But I'm sure Diane would have a good guess on how many deer. Like, if we hit a number that's pretty high, she's probably going to have a good guess on, yeah, that's the most that we can remember, you know. I remember when we had a taxidermist years ago that would donate and give us so much, and we just continually, like when I moved here, we didn't have the number of brothers that we have to shoot, you know, or to hunt. And Elder Becker, of course, being the main hunter at the time, but we had deer rolling in all winter, every winter, because it was given to us. In the South, they would just take the part of the deer that they wanted, and maybe they just wanted the horns. You know, that's what the taxidermists did anyway. They were able to, you know, process the, or take that head off and freeze it and frame it, you know, for the hunters who hang it in their homes. And that's what the taxidermists did. So we had a good relationship with them. And now, years later, we truly have some great brothers that are able to do that. So thank you to the hunters and the fishers and all the servants, you know, all the servants of the land. You know, we got Alabama coming up. Maybe Mother Jennifer will talk about it. Maybe she won't. But that's a good thing to look forward to. And, of course, the sisters around here are still caring for their homes and the children, you know, and still striving and pressing. School is phenomenal for me. Homeschooling is what I do. I'm trying to master that teaching talent just like I tried to master anything else I ever put my hand to, whether I was successful or not. But that's what we do here. We try to master what we've been given. And, you know, there was many, many years of being in the kitchen, many years of being, you know, kitchen manager, chow hall, and other responsibilities. And so now it's really time to master what's been set before me. I have Grandma Barb and huge shoes to fill, you know, somebody that was before me. And I look forward to it. I'm trying to master it in a sense of, you know, I know that the children don't even know that I'm trying to master something. They probably believe that I'm either good at what I do, but they're just thinking about how complicated or challenging whatever they're learning is. So they're not thinking about the challenges a teacher might go through, right? And so that's just a little humor. But I hope that the children really remember me and the schoolhouse and love it for all their life. I really do. So routines are in place, mother structure. Mother Jennifer, scheduling, we're striving. So shout out to every mother in purification and every mother expecting life at birth. Hallelujah. And, yes, PE is awesome. That was put in the chat room. Sakina's PE is awesome, yes. I actually, Miss Love is really, really good. When I asked Miss Love, which happens to be Sister Cheyenne for you guys, but when I found out her last name, I've been calling her Miss Love ever since because she is my assistant. She makes all the copies and does things that are, you know, beneficial to me and the students. And when I asked her to be the PE teacher, our first year of having her and kicking off the school, she said, yeah, she was like a junior JRTCO, whatever that alphabet thing is, in school. So she was very familiar, and she was more than ready, and the children have a blast. So that's that. That's what we got going on, and I'm sure so much more. Of course, if you caught the deliberation or the debate, as always, I'm as proud to follow Pastor Dow as I ever have been, so not really needing to add anything to that. But Mother Jennifer, what's going on in Georgia, or what would you like to share?
Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful news about everything going on at Straightway, Sister Ashley. Everything in Georgia here is busy. The brothers are staying busy with the decking business. The women are staying busy with homeschool, and there's a lot of prep that's taking place for Alabama's block party. We got babies being born, babies that are expected to be born, and everything is just flowing really well here in Georgia. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Great. Hey, real quick testimony from the chat room. Brother Steve is feeling much better. We thank the Most High, Sister Wanda says, and we thank the Most High and the saints for their healing commands from all of our family who cares for us. Hallelujah. She says that he had appendicitis and he's healed. He's following the same liver gallbladder cleanse protocol that he followed last January, which works for gallstones. So glory to the King for that. We have a sister who says in the chat room, shalom and blessings to all of my sisters. I'm relatively new to the ministry and the Sisters United group. I created a Marco Polo today, commenting on something that Peter Rambo said on the debate broadcast last night. That was an encouragement, or so I thought, to our sisters to be careful on what or how we hear. One of my beloved sisters gave me a phone call immediately and advised me that I should not be commenting on things that the men discuss. I honorably and respected her admonishment, and I deleted the comment. I may be the only one, but perhaps it would be helpful to some other sisters in regard to that so that we are not out of order. I only shared this because I thought it would be helpful to some other new sisters or anyone who might be listening. Hallelujah, and thank you to my sister who gave me the admonishment. I'm grateful, and I'm still learning, and bless you, everyone. Mother Jennifer, add some words to that.
Simply put, Sister Ashley, our men don't need us defending them at all. They don't need our input at all. And, and I'm glad the sister shared this because it is a very wise admonishment to really listen to and pay attention to. Our role as women is to be behind the scenes, to be support, to help, and that's it. They don't need us on the front lines defending them or, adding to things that they've said or even backing up what they've said. They just need us simply to obey and to be a humble representation of Yah through our submission. Sister Ashley.
Well said. Diana texts me that the most deer we've ever had is 93, guys, and we're at 50 or 49 already. So that's wonderful news. Yeah, well said, Mother Jennifer. Thank you. We are a representation of something new in the earth, and I say new because you've never found it before. You've never seen it, visualized it before, never produced it before. You're joining to something that is new, and there is an order. And I think for the restoration that we're all walking in, there are continual growth that we even learn and manifest. And so there's much appreciation from all of us, and we understand the transformation. I'm glad that someone could admonish you respectfully and that you could receive it. That is what we need more of. We don't need a lot of correction that is a misrepresentation of what we're trying to produce. And so that is helpful. I appreciate that. So let me just ask Mother Jennifer or just conversate about the only thing that I could really come up with, our glory to the Most High, is explain or just talk about how to bring a thought into captivity. Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, bringing a thought into captivity takes place, to me, it takes place before that thought even tries to enter into your mind. So you have to be girded with the word. You have to understand Yah's word first and foremost, so that if there is a thought that is foreign, then you'll know, okay, this is something that does not belong here. Where did this come from? You know, where did I pick this up at? It starts way before the thought even tries to present itself, if that makes sense. You have to be so focused in your mind on being sober to your own thoughts that when something contrary tries to enter in, then you'll recognize it right away, and then you can immediately reject it. And then you combat it with the word of Yah. So if there's something in your mind telling you that you're rejected, then you're going to think on the exact opposite, and you're going to speak the exact opposite according to what the word says. And the word says that Yah says he'll never leave you or forsake you. So I know I'm not rejected because Yah says that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And this is just a, just an example, but it works with anything because the word covers everything. But it's very important to be focused and to be sober on making sure that your thoughts are of his, that you just don't let your thoughts wander wherever the wind may blow or wherever, you know, your thoughts want to take you. You have to be very focused and very sober on thinking on the things that Yah wants you to think on, so that when something contrary enters in, you recognize it right away. So to me, it starts there, Sister Ashley.
2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 really is where my question from Mother started. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yah to the pulling down of strongholds. And so when you consider the weapons of a carnal war, of course, being swords and devices and instruments to kill, right, or even warring in our flesh, the weapons that we would have, carnal weapons that we would use in the flesh would be rolling your eyes. You know, impatient tones that you can communicate with, walking away when someone's speaking, seeing someone's flesh and not loving according to the spirit, you know, or being able to separate the flesh and spirit. As the word says, know no man after the flesh, right? But if you have eyes in your mind that see according to the flesh continually, if you discern only evil, you know, that's warring in the flesh. If you can discern only, you know, if you can look at other women and you only see the negative based on your journey in the world, your experience with other men and women and relationships prior to the faith, then your strength is small. You know, your maturity is small. So you can have your own personal rejections and finger pointing, which is also a carnal weapon, you know, finger pointing. We move past those things in maturity. And another carnal weapon that comes to mind would be isolation. You know, isolation being going somewhere to allow ministering voices and to allow thoughts that take you astray and not bringing every thought captive, as Mother just even said. So 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yah, bringing into captivity every thought. Bringing into captivity every thought. When you compare the verses, there's a couple of really good comparisons. If you go to a biblical comparison, this is 2 Corinthians 10:5, one comparison, one version says, we demolish arguments. So instead of like we bring every thought captive, we demolish arguments. That's really concretely, you know, what's in your head is argumentative against what's being presented. You know, what's in your head is not humility towards the other who's speaking. You know, if you're using a carnal weapon and your tongue, your speech, your mind, and you can't wait to exalt or defend yourself. And so we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Yah. That's a good one. Another version that is good is we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps you from knowing Yah. And another one is we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of Yah. And another one, last one, version, is we tear down arguments and every presumption set up against the knowledge of Yah. And we take captive every thought. So the thought that you're taking captive would be the argument, the presumption, the lofty opinion, the proud obstacle, or every pretension that these versions are explaining. And I liked that. But Mother Jennifer, back to you.
And Sister Ashley, I believe that, you know, every sister, we need to really discern ourselves. You know, you need to understand yourself, understand what your weaknesses are. There are things that I know that I cannot allow myself to watch. I can't allow it to enter into my eye gate or my ear gate. I don't want to, because I don't want my thoughts to be challenged. I don't want to be challenged in any way because of something that I have allowed to enter my eye gate and my ear gate. And I think, you know, if we all think about just how sober we need to be in what we lay our eyes on, what we listen to, what we allow to come out of our mouths, what we allow people to speak to us, I believe that we will all just be so much better off if we do that, because it really does bring a level of sobriety when you're doing it the way that Yah says you need to really focus on the things of Him and not the things that are contrary. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So the thoughts that you may hear about yourself, about someone else, whatever thought that you should be bringing into captivity, whatever that thought is, what you're hearing, I'm trying to speak slow enough that maybe this will help you, is that you would recognize what part of what you're hearing is you. So if I'm hearing a thought, whether it's self-accusing or rejecting or accusing someone else, you would take that thought and you will recognize, how can the enemy speak this to me? How can the enemy see the weakness in my mind and bring this to me to rule my members, you know, to rule my actions and to rule my mind with it? So that's his job continually, to submit thoughts into your mind to rule you, kill, steal, destroy, or torment you. And so notice your subconscious communications that are internally against anyone or anything, any negativity, you know, presented in your mind, and see how the enemy is able to speak it to you. You know, the strength of you as a woman is going to be in the stillness of your mind. So it's a goal that's set before you to reach, and the mind is able to you know, be the source of so much activity. So that's why tonight, really, I just wanted to put that out there, to bring thoughts into captivity. You know, try it this week, try it tomorrow, try to put this into a pattern, to bring the thought into captivity. The thought could lead to an attitude. The thought can lead to an emotional response. The thought could be why you hate her or hate yourself or hate him, right? But bringing that thought and really dissecting it one thought at a time. Mother Jennifer.
And, you know, Sister Ashley, I find that a lot of times as women, we don't put ourselves in a position to just be humble. You brought up the example of finger pointing, you know, pointing the finger. And if you are in a situation where you're constantly hearing accusations about another sister, where the devil is always submitting thoughts about another sister, put it in your mind, in your heart, that, okay, I'm going to think of something that this sister does, that she does really well, and I'm going to compliment her. I'm going to compliment her on this thing that she does really, really well. So instead of tearing her down in your mind, you're actually going to start building her up. And then in your private time, in your prayer time, you pray for her. Ask the Father to bless her. Ask the Father to give her the wisdom and the understanding that she seeks. You know, just in your time, pray for her. She doesn't need to know that. But really start building her up, because the devil wants you to tear her down. So you need to do the opposite. So we have to work on humbling ourselves and doing the opposite of what the flesh wants us to do. Sister Ashley?
Well said. Does anyone have any questions pertaining to this? I know I'm going to wrap up my thoughts soon, and we really, really are going to end the show this early. That's okay. We have so much given to us in the ministry, so it's not about a time stamp or, you know, an hour, two-hour production for us. If we don't have anything, we just don't have anything. And so may the righteous hear something that provokes them, you know. I consider the strength that it takes, you know, to bring a thought captive and not allow it to be you or be an action. And so I also consider a few other verses that exhibit the strength that we should have. And I say the word strength because it's genderless, you know. It's not a male role or a female role to have strength of mind. It's just you and Yah, you know. It's you and Yah. And so for the love of Christ, it constrains us. That's 2 Corinthians 5:14. His love constrains us. If his love didn't constrain us, there would be a bloodletting. You couldn't allow this many demonically driven, born in sin, shaped in iniquity individuals striving for holiness live together without his love that constrains us and without his deliverance. You know, we would all be as children, and we would not endure one another without the hope to love. And so the love of Christ constrains us because he died for us, then we are also dead. And so when you pattern your thoughts to his death, then you should be able to die to it. And when you realize how difficult it is to die to the strength of a certain thought, or you realize how difficult it is to die to the strength of a feeling, then you know that that is exalting itself above the knowledge of Christ. And that is what you have to bring captive to his knowledge, his way, and die to it. Because he died for us that we would live, and that we would not live unto ourselves, right? Because he once died and rose again, but that we would know no man after the flesh, and then we would live for him. So you want to really, you know, just, can I say, sacrifice those thoughts, you know, that it's just not worth everything, every emotion and attitude that you're putting into it. It's not worth it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's new. He's new. He's new. All old things are passed away, brought into captivity. So you can see the strength that it takes to produce that in 2 Corinthians 5. The strength that it takes for you to produce that, to be new again, right, to give him all the glory, that your thoughts would be his thoughts, that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where there are only few and the very elect, you know, are able to do that. Mother Jennifer?
I think we have a question in the chat room, Sister Ashley. It says, could you please explain the origin of Black November, which is called Black Friday in the U.S., which is a worldly term? I understand it's the name, it's the time of year that they sell things at a relatively cheaper price here, or even 50% off. Is it okay to purchase items at this time of the year? I've never heard of Black November, Sister Ashley. I've heard of Black Friday, and I've never known the origin of it at all. So I did a really, really quick Google search. Did you want to say anything about this, Sister Ashley?
No, I agree with you. Perhaps she's calling it Black November because of her geographical location and being so far away. And I know translations and, you know, different dialects might call it different. But, yeah, Black Friday, it's always in November. It's always near Thanksgiving. And, yeah, I would love to hear what you come up with.
So there's actually a few things that come up. The first thing says that Black Friday originated within the police department, and it's referred to the Friday before the heathen Christmas. It says it's a day when emergency services activate contingency plans to cope with the increase in workload because so many people were going out drinking on the last Friday before Christmas. That's the first thing I pulled up. Looked a little bit deeper, it says Black Friday stemmed from slavery, and it was the day after Thanksgiving when slave traders would sell slaves for a discount to assist plantation owners with more helpers for the upcoming winter. So those are the two things that actually came up when I looked up Black Friday, and I have never done this before, so never known it. It's something that I'll look into more. But she's asking, is it okay to purchase items at this time of year? I'd say follow your conviction. You know, follow whatever the Father is leading you to do. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. It's a good thought. I appreciate the hesitancy to be a part of something. You know, most slaves in the 18th and 19th centuries look forward to holidays like Easter, Christmas, and New Year's Day, not knowing any different. You know, that was the South. And in the North, they had observations like Black Election Day and another day called Pinkster. You know, they have a day called Juneteenth and International Days of Remembrance of the slave trades. We don't keep those either, you know, so it's not that I don't want to capitalize on just the negativity because it's out there. You know, we know all about the abolition and the commemoration of many days of the year that are a slap in the face to the respect and honor that the melanated individual deserves for what he's been through, he or she. And so this is just another mockery. You know, there's many of them. Like Pastor says, you know, you give us 1 month of the year, and then where's the honor in a Black History Month? You know, so it's a lot of confusion. It's a lot of Gentiles or heathens just making up whatever they want to make up. And really, it's about merchandising. It's about merchandising, and that's in Revelation. It's just my opinion. But, you know, in Revelation, it's about merchandising everything. Turn every day into whatever you want and really just sell it. You know, and I take advantage of sales. You know, I take advantage of sales, and that's my husband's home. If there's something on sale, I got an amazing vacuum cleaner on Black Friday sale. I really, really did. That is nothing to do with my disrespect and dishonor for my people. But as she said, you know, don't. It's not like we're standing in line like Pastor's shown in the videos, waiting wrapped around buildings on Black Friday to knock somebody over when the shopping carts run out. And I didn't get one, you know, or I didn't get the Air Jordans that were on sale or all that foolishness, you know what I mean? So there's a respectful distance that we keep to that day. We could do without it. We could really do without it. But I hope that brings a balance to your question. It is a good thought. But I'm sure you'll find an equal balance within the ministry. You might have those that are greatly convicted and will not participate, you know, and respectfully that's fine too, to every man his own, you know, as far as the convictions go. But thank you. Thank you for the question. I hope it sparks good dialogue and just consideration for others. You know, there was a sister who had sent in an email that was asking about dolls and dolls with eyes, right? Let me go to it really quick. If I can, help me, Father. Don't want to waste a lot of time. There it is. Okay. Shalom, my sisters. Bless you. Could you tell me what are the reasons and references suggested to not have the children with dolls and toys with eyes? Bless you, and bless you for your time. The reply given to her from Straightway Help Meets was blessings. Simply put, the origin of dolls is rooted in voodoo and witchcraft. Toys with eyes sometimes suggest allowing a non-human object to take on human form, and I hope this helps. And it's true. So you can allow something in your home to become an object or a portal from one dimension to the other. It sounds sci-fi. It's not. It's just reality that object is going to be a portal or a holding place for a spirit. They can look out of it, talk out of it. You can become inordinately attached to it as a child or even a grown-up. So I wanted to read that too, just with respect that guess what? If you get the answer from the wrong person, someone might say, dolls are completely acceptable. It's okay. You know, it's 2023. You know, don't get the vampires and the gremlins or the trolls, right? Those dolls, leave those. But over here, these are okay. You might get that answer. Depends on who you ask. Then you might get someone who is much more, you know, conservative or even a experienced deliverance worker that says, look, says, well, my experience, toys with eyes, they take on human form and they're objects. And I got this story, A, B, C, D, E, F, G story to tell you, you know. So it's difficult to direct so many minds into one mind, into oneness, because so many of you, through your connections or your relationships, can really encounter stumbling blocks, you know. And so we have to be wise one with another before we give information. I don't know if this sister is truly, let's say, for example, hypothetically, Mother Jennifer, she is emailing us because she is being convicted about the dolls and the toys that she has in her home. Then the Most High is moving on you to get those things out. Or maybe someone has rebuked your child for what she was holding or carrying or bringing to the Sabbath day, and you didn't like it, and you didn't agree. Maybe that's behind your email. You know, there's so much happening behind our lives, which means even for that circumstance, everything must go back to the Father, not to be spiritual and no earthly good, but everything has to be you and Him, you and Him. He's going to teach you to love the sister that you hate. He's going to teach you to submit to the husband that you haven't. He's going to teach you to silence your mouth. He's going to teach you on what to get rid of, because most of the time, everything that got bought and purchased into the house was from you anyway and not the man, you know? And so everything goes back to Him. We need Him. We need Him so much. We need those daily communications that are going to direct us. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, what you just said reminded me of Sister Sonia Crago's testimony last week about how she followed the convictions that was given to her. You know, she followed her own convictions. It was just her and the Father at that time, and she followed Him as much as she knew, even though she wasn't, you know, she hadn't found the Israelites. She didn't know she was Israel, but she followed Him as much as she knew how. And she even confessed and said, you know, I was a wicked Christian. That's what I knew. But she said, but I still know that the Father loved me enough to lead me and to guide me, followed Him. So, you know, I just think that we have to really lean on Yah and allow Him to give us the understanding and to give us the wisdom and to truly give us the conviction as well. And there's another, we have an email. Sister Ashley, you ready?
Sure. Yes, ma'am.
It says, Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer. Would you please bring light on a strategy to see yourself the same way that a sister sees you? For example, when a sister says that you're dealing with the spirit, but you can't see it because you're blinded. Bless you and thank you so much for your time and love for the sisters. Before we go completely into this, if I just may say one thing about the, you know, the question, I think that the most important thing, you know, the question says, would you please bring light on a strategy to see yourself the same way that a sister sees you? Well, you want to see yourself the same way that Yah sees you. And if there's one spirit, then there's going to be one truth. You know, there's not just several different things. So if you see yourself the way that the Father sees you, then that is what you really need to be concerned about. But if there's something that you believe you're missing, you know, maybe you're blinded by pride, whatever it may be, you know, you want to humble yourself and ask the Father, okay, Father, this is something I don't see. There's something that I believe I could be missing, and I just ask that you would just really show me. And every time that I've prayed that prayer, He always comes through. He always shows me. He never allows me to just walk around blinded, if that makes sense. Sister Ashley?
I agree so much with your words. I always do. I consider in the word how it says that their minds were blinded until the day that Yeshua had taken away the veil, or how Paul had scales, right, and Yeshua removed. This is exactly what Mother Jennifer is saying, but in a different way. The word says, or in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, right? So there has to be an opposition within you in order to not see it. There has to be an unbelief, or there has to be a pride, or the sister telling you is completely wrong. It's one or the other. Because when you're told about yourself, it's an instant recognition that it's there. And the first thing you might sense is, it's not there, it's her, I don't see it. But that shouldn't last long, because that's a fleshly response. You know, that's a carnal weapon. Because the reflection on yourself and your heart knows its own bitterness is, you're going to be able to find it. And the word says, he had blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts, you know, that they should not see with their eyes or understand with their heart, that they would not be converted, that Yah could heal them. That's John 12. So if you want to see it, you should see it. If you don't see it, you're proud. And if it's not there, then she's wrong. So it's not going to take long for you to filter through those that resume and check some stuff off. As far as the word strategy is not wisdom anyway. It is a good selection of word. I don't mean that. I'm just saying, if I was to teach you a strategy, that I would want to teach you a weapon of wisdom, you know, wisdom, because strategy is often carnal too. Strategy is carnal. That could be like the way that we reason, or the way that we think. It'd be a lot of I. What I'm going to do, I'm going to, you know, think this, do this, check this box off, do this strategy every time, and I'm going to find out. No, actually, Yah is going to discern the heart with his sword that pierces and divides asunder. It goes in and cuts. It comes out and cuts. You know, so I know that helps you. Do sisters misguide other sisters? Absolutely. Do sisters misappropriate what's really happening and going on and point the finger and say something that's not true? Absolutely. I'm involved in that stuff, right? I don't mean just personally. I mean when you're helping somebody, and a sister's intention could be very well upright, but she can be so off with her lack of experience and her 100% zeal towards the Father. I mean, a lot of women are very young and babes and lack so much discernment in their ability to communicate or to lead you to the Father, you know? And that has to be considered, too. It's not meant to any disrespect to any of us, because we're all striving. It just can happen. And so, you know, if you have somebody that's loving you and seasoned and understanding and reaching you and entreating you and talking to you about yourself, then, yeah, she's probably right. And you should be able to find it, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I have nothing to add. Very good words.
Hallelujah. Hey, I got a question in the emails, and I don't want to read the full email, just to respect her circumstance and not to unveil something, just for our younger listening audience. Basically, she's witnessed. I'm gonna give this to you, Mother Jennifer, and you can read the email later if you need to. But she witnessed her mother doing something that she should not have done. And because she saw it as a young child, and she saw it many times, multiple times, all right, performing inappropriate actions and things like that, unsuitable for her at the time of her age, but also completely against her husband and the law. So fast forwarding to now, she's 29 years old, and she wants to tell her father. Okay? So I want to just ask you, now that she says at the end, discovering all the evil things that my mom did to my dad, and I remember what she did when I was, you know, X amount of age, I want to tell my dad now so I can be free from guilt. I want to be free from my mom's manipulation. I want to have peace that I've never had since I was 4 years old until now, okay? So she can still hear her mom's words and the things that she put in her mind, and most importantly, she wants to be a good wife and a mother to our master scripture seeds, and she doesn't want to transfer any sin, and these things are really a heavy weight upon her. Can I drop this in your mind first, Mother Jennifer, and answer this way? Would it be wiser to initiate this communication first with the mother? And I realize, when I'm asking you that, I realize that the relationship is very tattered, is very broken, is possibly, maybe it doesn't even exist. Maybe mom's not even in her life, you know. But is it wise to run tell the dad when you are the one that is bound? And would that not be a response inside her wanting to get back to mom, you know, wanting to hurt mom as well? Would it even relieve the spirit inside of her or give her freedom to tell her father? Go ahead.
You know, Sister Ashley, situations such as these, you know, I have not been in a situation like this at all, but I remember being in situations where, you know, I've witnessed things that were done, and I would go to that person and I would say, you know what, I am giving you an opportunity to say something. I'm giving you an opportunity to tell, because you know that this wasn't right. So I'm giving you that opportunity to go and tell, you know, whatever it is. However, with this situation being so many years ago, like you said, Sister Ashley, going and approaching the mother, you know, hey, I remember this from my childhood. I remember you doing this. And actually talking to your mother about being a woman and giving the information to her father. I think that is the best way to approach it. Sister Ashley.
Yes, I agree. For many reasons, and I'll just wrap it up by saying that it's more entreating and much more of a humble response not to destroy a relationship between your mother and father. America's doing that. They're destroying relationships through their poor communication and through their betrayals and the love that's waxing cold. So they don't mind going behind anyone's back and communicating, trying to get a better idea, and then coming against that person because they're wrong. But who has the love to just entreat that individual first? You know, I'm not going to tell you exact commands, you know, because Yah needs to lead you. But what's wrong with saying, you know, I desire for you to tell Dad. I desire for you to tell Dad. Tell me why you don't. You know. These are the things, these are weights that burden me. So I understand that the desire in you is to communicate and let Dad know, because he is being betrayed, he is being done wrong, right? But you make yourself one with that evil when you betray. So because mom betrayed you, I'm going to betray mom, you know? So you don't want to make yourself like that sin or like that evil. And of course, it can build to all sorts of scenarios. It might go, okay, mom might understand and reflect, give her a few weeks or months and she may communicate it. It might go completely south, totally argumentative, might get even violent, you know. I'm just throwing hypothetical circumstances, because there's just spirits, just demons control a lot of individuals and a lot of relationships. You know, but most definitely you want to try to obtain your freedom by doing things as righteous as you can and as upright as you can, without feeling like you can be the Band-Aid, because you actually might just be destroying something, you know, that your mom honestly destroyed many years ago, right? But hallelujah. I think we, you know, gave a little bit of wisdom on that. I hope so. And then, let's see, question in the chat. Shakina, did I cover it? I just got her message or text message. Let's see. That's it, guys. If there's nothing else, no questions, I don't see anything. Mother Jennifer, you go ahead and end the show.
Bless you all, and I'll see some of you at the block party. And I won't be here for next week, sister to sister. And shalom. I pray everyone has a good week and a good Shabbat.
Shalom.